our Ordinary Hero series. How many of you guys have been enjoying the series? I mean, it's been a blessing to me. I know that for a fact. But we are wrapping it up. We'll be moving into a new series starting next Sunday. But we have a special guest speaker, somebody that I've known my entire life. And her name is Sky Stewart, our youth pastor. Let's give her a hand as she comes up to bring God's word this morning.
To get my hype in before I start here. Well, good morning, Harvest. How are you? Good. Wonderful, wonderful. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Sky. Like you said, I'm the youth pastor here. But I just wanted to kind of clue you in. This morning, my mom was like, Sky, I see you really dressed to the nines this morning for preaching. That's ironic. She was making fun of me. But I said, Mom, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm not the head pastor. I really want to wear my youth pastor uniform. And so I chose the jean jacket, right? Everyone, and then the, you know, if you've never seen a preacher preach in with ripped jeans before, welcome. Holy. I'm extra holy today. I'm going to make the joke myself. Thank you. Thank you. But this morning, I'm going to be wrapping up the series on ordinary heroes. And so today we're going to be talking about our girl, Hannah. So talking about Hannah in the Bible, I'm titling this message, Hannah, the Ordinary Hero. And just to clue you in on, or maybe even catch you up, the definition of ordinary, I'm going to give this to you. Ordinary, with no special features, normal. Hero is a person who is admired for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. And you might be asking, Sky, that was really basic for you to give me the definition of ordinary and hero. Well, I just really wanted to make sure that when you left here today and you said, you know, Sky gave a really good message today, but I left confused on the definition of ordinary. Now you can't say that anymore because I gave you the definitions. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to pray really fast before we get started, and then I'm going to get started a little. Okay. All right. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Jesus, we thank you for just bringing us in this room, God. I know that you have a word for each and every person that has entered these doors, Lord, and that's why they're here today, God. So please just speak directly to hearts, God. And I always pray that we leave changed, because that's like the only thing that can happen to us when we enter in your presence, is that we leave changed and affected, because that's just what you do. We love you, God. We praise you. And everyone said amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little backstory on our girl Hannah. So Hannah's married to a guy named Elkanah. And yes, I looked up how to say that exactly, so you're welcome, Elkanah. Anyways, so Elkanah did a little no-no, like we've been talking about the last couple weeks. Elkanah had two wives, Bachelor in Paradise type of stuff going on here. There's just so much drama going on in this pairing, this trio. So Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, she does not like Hannah very much, because Hannah is really, really, really loved by Elkanah. He just loves her so much, gives her so many gifts, gives her double portions of whatever it is, and he's just like pouring it out. He's like, I just love you so much. But she can bear him no children. Peninnah knows that Hannah cannot have kids, and so she uses her ability to have kids really to taunt Hannah. She's like, I'm better than you. I can give them all these kids. But it's in vain, because Elkanah doesn't love her anymore because of the fact that she can bear him children. He really loves Hannah. But like I said, she just made fun of Hannah, really got under her skin, really taunted her about her inability to have kids. And so Hannah was distraught, so sorrowful. This is her, what she was made to be, you know, a mother. And she just cried out to God, full of sorrow, to give her this child. And yearly, the family would go up to one of the tabernacles to pray to the Lord. And so here we are. This is where we start. 1 Samuel 1. If you want to open your Bibles, if not, it's going to be behind me. But 1 Samuel 1, they're at the tabernacle now praying. We'll start in verse 10. It says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Eli is the priest at that tabernacle. He's seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded, "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." In that case, Eli said, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you the request that you have asked of him." "Thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. We move on to the next couple verses, and we're about to be done, but it says, "The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, 'I asked the Lord for him.'" When the child was weaned, we're skipping down to verse 24. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. And speaking to Eli, the priest, she says, "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked, "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped him there. Today we're going to answer two questions. Two questions. The first is, why was Hannah an ordinary hero? The second is, what will it take for us to become ordinary heroes like Hannah? And the answer is actually the same for both. Just three words: trust, honor, and sacrifice. I'll say them again. Trust, honor, and sacrifice. We need to model these three things that Hannah herself modeled. Honestly, things that this world sees very little of nowadays. The first thing is trust. Trust. We know what a trust is, all these things. Maybe you trust your best friend with your secrets. Maybe you trust your mom. Maybe you trust your brother. I don't know. I'm just naming things at this point. Anyways, I trust members of my family. They're my family. I love them so much. They love me. But I do have trust issues with somebody in my family, and that is my father. Not the deep-seated trust issues, you know what I mean? But I've got some trust issues built up. I'm going to tell you why. None of you guys are going to be surprised by the stories that follow. Anyways, so I have trust issues with this man because, like, he maybe tells stories of him pranking people and pulling all these pranks when he's like 16, 22, whatever it is. Yeah, well, 56, he's still here pulling pranks and has been pulling them since the day I was born. Anyways, so first I'm going to talk about the times that I walk upstairs. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed at night. And I go up to my room. It's late. It's dark. And I open my door and four books fall on the top of my head, because he set them on my door frame so that when I open the door, they fall on my head. Replace those with shoes. You know, multiple pairs of shoes falling on my head. And what do I hear around the corner? He's laughing. He's laughing around the corner. And I'm like, "Dad," whatever. So I don't open doors unless I, if they're already open, I'm like, I'm not opening that. I'm not going into that door. The other thing is, any of you guys, when maybe you've just watched a scary movie, or you're just a little bit on edge that night, and you don't want to turn the lights off downstairs to have to run all the way upstairs. Maybe you turn them off really fast and you just book it up. You know what I mean? You're like, someone's going to be behind me. Even though all the doors are locked, I just know someone's behind me. Well, I have those times, and so I leave the light on because there's a little light switch up top. So I'll leave the light on, and I walk up the stairs, and as I'm walking up the stairs, the light turns off. I'm not walking up those stairs. You know why I'm not walking up those stairs? Because anytime that ever happened, he was around the corner waiting to scare me. Ah! And I would scream because I was scared. The last thing, there's a couple more. He just reminded me of one this morning. Growing up, he would be talking to me and like my cousin. He'd be like, "All right, guys," because he does that little voice. "All right, guys, who loves peanut butter sandwiches?" And we'd be like, "Me." Because I'm like three when he's doing this. "Me." And he'd be like, "With boogers." And I'd be like, "No! How could you? I hate boogers on my peanut butter sandwiches. You trickster." And then if I'm in the kitchen, well, I'm not reaching up yet, but I'm in the kitchen, and he goes, "Sky, could you reach that thing off the top shelf for me?" I'm like, "Sure, Dad." Reach up, you know, just tickles my armpit like a maniac. So now if anyone asks me to like reach anything on the top shelf, I'm like, you get it yourself. I'm not reaching up. I could be in another state and I'd be like, you get it yourself. My dad's coming around that corner. He's getting me. I've got trust issues with this man right there. But all that aside, trust, getting back to it. Hannah, our girl Hannah here, Hannah trusted God with her battle. And what I mean by that, when I say Hannah trusted God with her battle, I look back at just the battle really that she was facing and not being able to have kids. And just the anguish and the sorrow that she would have been feeling. It says she felt deep, deep sorrow. But what Hannah did and what she models for us is that she told God how she felt and then left the problems to him. Let that sink in. She told God how she felt and then left the problems to him. Do we do that all the time? Do we just leave the problems to God once we tell him how we feel? No. Hannah did not dwell or revisit the issues that she was facing. She didn't let that circle in her mind, and she didn't like get so afraid of the possibility that it wouldn't be answered. She said, God, here it is. I trust you with it. And then what does the scripture say? She was no longer sad. She left the problem to him, and then she was no longer sad. We do not always do that. We've got trust issues with God. We don't want to give him our things because we want to have control over them, or we want to let them circle in our minds. My mom, she says I circle in my conversations all the time. I call her up, I'm like, Mom. I usually don't have a voice crack like that unless I'm crying. Anyways, I'm like, Mom, I'm really upset by this thing that happened, and I really want it to be fixed, and all this stuff is happening to me, and blah, blah, all this stuff. And she's like, well, Skye, and she gives me the advice. We talk about it. We pray about it. We're sitting there. We're chatting. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But do you remember how much I'm hurting because of it? And she's like, Skye, we're going in circles again. Please. I'm like, thank you, Mother, but let me vent. Let me just get it out there. This is how I process things. But that's what we do with God. That's what we do with our issues. We just circle and we circle around and we stay in what we're facing. But guys, if we are too distracted for too long by the battles we face, we forget that the war has already been won. We forget that the war has already been won. We become the damsels in distress rather than the victors that God's created us to be. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Even Jesus says that we won't have an easy going life all the time. But he says, I've overcome already. You can take heart. You can trust in me. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A true hero trusts that they will have the victory. When they go to war, they already know they're going to have the victory. You can trust God because we find victory as heirs of Christ. If we are in Jesus, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we have victory. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to circle. We don't have to have trust issues with God. The second thing that Hannah modeled to us was honor. Honor. Hannah models honor and gratitude to the Lord for his blessing. And get this, before he answered. Before he answered, she worshiped. 1 Samuel 1:19 says, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. That was after she prayed, after she left it to God, and before she had her prayer answered. She went and worshiped the Lord once more. How does the saying go, everybody? Fix this for me or finish this for me. Pride comes before the fall, yes. And I'm going to tell you a story of how pride definitely fell. Definitely fell. So when I was in high school, I was on the track and field team. Only freshman year, let's get that straight. I'm not that athletic. Freshman year, I'm on the track and field team. And my thing was high jumping. If you guys don't know what high jumping is, there's a big mat and like a straight across bar. It's not the thing with the pole. Pole vaulting. Come on. Get it together, everybody. Track and field knowledge. Okay, so we're walking up to the, or running up. Running up to the thing. We jump. We go over. Good. That actually has nothing to do with my story. I just wanted to catch you guys up on high jumping. But anyways, I really loved high jumping in middle school, and so then when I went to high school and got on the track and field team, they said, you know what, Skye, we love that you love to do high jump, but we actually want you to become a runner, too. I didn't sign up for this. I'm the field part of the track and field team. I do not like running. I do not enjoy it. I get out of breath very fast. It's just not for me. But they say, we need you to run. Okay, I guess so, whatever. And then they just like to torture me, I guess. They say, actually, Skye, you're tall. You got long legs. We're going to put you on the hurdling group. And I was like, okay. So for an entire season for winter, I practiced hurdling. I actually got pretty good at it. So when spring came, they were getting ready to put me out and have me try to run. And so we were doing a practice round. We were doing some circuit training. And so really what we would do is we'd race against someone else on our team, and then we would circle back and do it again. Well, what did I say? Pride comes before the fall. Yeah. So anyways, I am standing there, and I'm next to a junior on our track team who's pretty good. She's not the best, but I'm like, you know what? I can beat her. I can beat this girl. Wipe the floor with her. I just know it. So as we're going, and they say, 1, 2, 3, go, whatever. We're racing. Guys, I smoked her. Like, I was done way before she was over the second hurdle. My coach was like, dang, Skye, go ahead now. And then I was like, thank you. Yeah, okay. Guys, I had asthma and I had no idea. So I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, yeah. What did I say? Circuit training. So we had to do it again with very little time to get ready for the next round. So here I am. And then 1, 2, 3, go. So I'm like, and I just fell. First hurdle, I was down so fast. Sprained my ankle so bad. Worst thing even with that is that we were in front of a soccer game that was happening. So the stadium was full of people. I wasn't even in like a real meet, and I still had an audience of people watching me fall. So I was carried over, medical attention. I was out for the season. After that, I gave up sports and learned how to paint. Yay, the Lord. Thank you. Maybe I'll sell some of my old artwork from high school for you all later. Pride comes before the fall. Pride can get in the way of honor, can't it? Pride can get in the way of honor. Sometimes God can do incredible things for us and through us, and we like to take the credit. I'm going to say it again just so you can catch up. Sometimes God can do incredible things for you and through you. You like to take the credit. I'm saying it for myself. Let's go here real fast. I'm going to just say some things. Maybe they resonate with you. Maybe something is like, yikes. I got myself out of my depression. I prayed for that person and I healed them. I saved up my money wisely and I was able to pay off all my debts. You're like, ouch, yeah, okay. I was like, Lord, come for me, please, Jesus. We forget to thank God for the doctors that we met along the way. We forget to thank him for the family that we had to support us when we were low. We forget to thank God for the provision of a good job or maybe the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's dangerous because we will fall. If we are not acknowledging God with the goodness that he's doing in and through our lives, we're going to get high and mighty, and we're going to fall. James 1:16 through 17 says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Hannah knew who had given her this child. She knew. And she worshiped him for it. We forget to worship God sometimes, even when we're in the midst of our struggle, you know, of course, but especially when we're fine. You know what I mean? Like when we're all good, we're rocking and we're rolling, we're just like, whatever, but we forget to thank the person who's allowing us to rock and roll. You know what I mean? Like we forget to really acknowledge who's given us the blessings that are in our lives. Psalm 86:12 says, I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. A true hero, a person of noble qualities, gives honor to whom honor is due. We need to begin to honor God before, during, and especially after our victories, just like Hannah did. And lastly, I want to spend some extra time here because I think that it's really just the craziest part of this story to me. Like, it really hit me super hard, and I'm not even a mother. But Hannah modeled sacrifice. After he turned 3 years old, Scripture says after he was weaned, and I looked into that, and that means probably when he was about 3 years old. After he turned 3 years old, Hannah gave up her son to the Lord. She gave up her son Samuel to the Lord. This son that she had prayed for. This son that she had cried over. Her heart's desire she gave to the Lord. She sacrificed time. I don't know if any of you guys, well, if you guys are mothers in the room, I just want you to kind of put yourself in the situation of, or even fathers, you have a kid that you've prayed for your entire life. 3 years into his life, you give him to someone else to raise. And yes, you go visit him. You go and give him gifts and you spend time with him, but it's not the same. But that's what Hannah does. She sacrifices her time with her child. She sacrifices control of his life, what he will become, what he'll do. She sacrifices all of that. She sacrifices her own desires. Like I said, as a mother who's prayed over this baby, who's cried for this baby, she sacrifices what she internally wants for what God can do with her sacrifice. She says to Eli, she says, he will belong to the Lord his whole life. Honestly, this shows that she really knows the meaning of God is the giver of all things. Would you guys agree that we hold on to things that we hold in deep importance? Like if things are really important to us, we hold on to them. So that could be an object, like something that means a lot to you, you hold on to deep importance. It could be your children. It could be your family members. It could be your friendships. You kind of like hold tight to your friends. Your jobs, you just love your job or whatever that is. Maybe you're just holding on to the comfort of what's familiar for you. When I was a toddler, my dad has said this before. It's quite funny. He'd ask me to like share something or maybe he'd ask me to do something that I didn't want to do, to try something I didn't want to try. And what I would do is I would turn like this. I'd say, uh-uh. He'd be over, he's here, he's right here. I say, uh-uh, no, uh-uh, Dad, uh-uh. I want to call up, Noah, you got your phone on you? Come up here. Give it up for Noah, everybody. Come on, Noah. We love Noah at Harvest Youth. We love Noah. Noah, I'm really in need of your phone. Like, I really need to make a phone call right now. There's an emergency, and I really need to borrow your phone. Can I borrow your phone? Sure. Wow, thank you. My first student in the first service would like to give me some trouble over this. Okay, so I'm going to make a call really fast. Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. No, my appointment's at 7. Okay, yeah. All right, so I'm done. Now, Noah, I need you to tell me that you also have a friend who really needs to make a phone call, and they need to do it right now.
I have a friend. They didn't even make a phone call right now.
Okay, we're taking an offering for acting lessons for Noah after the service. I made that joke in first service too. You and Michael gotta go to acting class together. Anyways, he says I need your phone. Thank you, Noah. All right, give him a hand. We love Noah. Guys, TBH, we can be like that with God. He gives us freely a gift, something that we think that we need, we pray for, something that we ask God for. Maybe we don't even ask for it, and God just freely gives. But then God says, hey, I really need that in this ministry that I'm wanting to start. Or, hey, I'm really needing this in this other state that you don't currently live in. Hey, I really need your son and daughter to go to this school because I have an organization that I need them to start on this campus that isn't there yet. And what do? We say, uh-uh. We say, uh-uh. We're like grown-up toddlers, everybody. Turning our shoulder to God and refusing to release control, to sacrifice to what He wants for us. What if we realized without God, these things would not be ours? They wouldn't be ours to begin with. What if like that really sat in with us, became like a deep-seated understanding? Without God, everything that I have is not mine. Then we'd be like toddlers where we say sharing is caring, and we share. Would we then, if we really understood that, be willing to sacrifice in order for God to use us? Would we really be able to, or maybe to sacrifice someone that we have control over for God to use them? Would we be willing to sacrifice in order for God to use us? And this is beyond religious duties. Because even Jesus in Scripture says mercy is better than sacrifice. This isn't because God told you to do this and because you have to do this to get saved, to go to heaven, and you have to do all these things because of whatever. That's not the sacrifice that we're talking about. We're talking about the sacrifice of our desires, our wants, what we have planned for our own life, and giving up control for God to be able to use us in whatever way He wants to. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In the story of the rich young man, and I liked how the NSAB version said this, Matthew 19:21 says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. What do we see in comic books, in movies, in TV shows? True heroes sacrifice for the greater good. Now, Hannah did not know what Samuel was to become. She didn't know who he would become, what God would use him for, but she trusted God, she honored God, and then sacrificed for him. And that, oh my gosh, God did incredible things with those acts of heroism that she displayed. She could have never known that from Samuel, he would grow up and he would be the one to actually choose David out of the line of his siblings to be king of Israel. And she could have never known that from that decision, David then, his lineage would be the one where Jesus came from. She didn't see how that would all play out, but God knew. And she trusted him. God did incredible things because of her heroism. Sometimes I knock it up to David's a real hero in the Bible. Samuel's even a real hero in the Bible. Maybe it's Jesus, obviously, is the greatest hero in the Bible. We forget about Hannah, the sacrifice of a mother. Something that she sacrificed that she deeply wanted and she cried over for years. This is who God used to bring about Jesus' life. Now, worship team, if I could come have you guys up here. We're going to close up, but I wanted to read this scripture for you guys. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Ephesians 5:2, I'm going to read it one more time. "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We follow God's leading by being willing to sacrifice ourselves for something greater than ourselves. We're modeling Jesus here on earth when we give up our own desires and we sacrifice for something greater, something better. We sacrifice for what God wants to do with our lives. When you model unwavering trust in God's plan, when you model honor of someone greater than yourself, when you model self-sacrificial love, really in a world that is not common. And let me tell you what this world is full of: distrust, self-seeking behavior, slander. That's what I see today in culture. But when we model the things of God, you become an ordinary hero to the people here on earth with us. You become an anomaly, somebody that they say, I don't know how you're doing this when everyone else is this way. You model Jesus. When you model these things, you become an ordinary hero, a normal person with normal struggles, but the way that you react is because you know who's in charge. You know who's over you. You know the final story. So I want to ask you guys three questions, and I really want this to be a time of reflection. So after this, I'm going to invite you to come up to the altar if you really need to lay any of these things down, if you really need to present yourself before God in this moment. But the first thing is, what are you needing to fully trust God with that you have not left to Him? What is it that you are fully needing to trust God with that you have not left to Him? The second is, how can you better honor Him in your everyday life? What things can we change? What things can we do to point the attention and the glory back to God? Or maybe what have you not honored Him with yet that He's already done? The last thing, what or who has been God asking you to let go of so that you can follow the Lord or answer His call with no hindrance? What is it that God's been asking you to let go of so that you can follow Him, so that you can answer His call with no hindrance? If you guys would stand with me, I'm going to pray us out and we're going to have a moment of worship. I would just love to be able to pray with any of you who just need to have someone to support you, to speak life into you. But really what this moment is you saying, God, what you've been saying to me throughout this message, what you're saying to me right now, I'm hearing it. And today I'm not leaving unchanged or unaffected by your words today, God. This is the day that I make a change with my life, that things look different for me. So don't let this moment pass. Jesus, we love you. God, we praise you and we thank you today for this word that you've given us, God. We thank you, Lord, that even you model the perfect